You know, growing up, I grew up in a Baptist church down in the South, and one of the songs that they used to sing often was that old rugged cross. A few months ago, I was somewhere, and a young lady, she was humming the song, Old Rugged Cross. And I said to her jokingly, "So you're not going to sing that song and not get into a duet here." And she looked at me because she was older than me. And she said, "You don't know about that old rugged cross." And I began to sing the lyrics. And when I began to sing the lyrics, the light on the inside of her brightened up and she started saying, "Oh, you do know." So now we're standing in the middle of a parking lot at a business singing a song, Old Rugged Cross. And it took me all the way back to when I was a kid and we used to sing that song, Old Rugged Cross. And I looked at the lyrics and I remember the lyrics and I remember everything that it's talking about. And it's talking about the fact that, you know, Jesus went to the cross on your behalf and my behalf and on the account of the entire world. And on that cross, he took all of our sins and all of our transgressions, all of our iniquities. He took it upon himself and he hung on that old rugged cross for us that we might have life in abundance to the full and to the overflows, to restore us back into right relationship with our Heavenly Father and to give us life like it was before Adam and Eve bowed their knees to the adversary. And when you sing that song, it's supposed to point you to what he did on the cross. But what the Father said to me this morning, he said this. He says, far too many of my people focus more on getting people to the cross than they do on what does life look like after the cross. And that's why so many people are defeated. That's why so many people are weary. That's why so many people are discouraged. He says, they thought, surely I should be further along than I am. And that's why so many have fallen off, are turned away from the faith. But God says, I'm raising an army of leaders who are equipped to not only get people to the cross, but also show them what life is like after the cross. And that's what we're going to talk about. There's a whole new world beyond the cross. And God is calling apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to lead his people not only to the cross, but life after the cross. You know, it's funny, a couple years ago, we released a book called Life After the Cross. And when God was talking to me about this, I'm like, Lord, he's like, and that's why I gave you the title to teach my people how to live life after the cross. Because if you just stayed the cross, it keeps you where you used to be, keep you looking at where you used to be, keep you looking at what you used to do, keep you looking at what you used to be like. And he says, man, I've got to the cross. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But the only problem with that, if you stay at the cross, you're never able to fully fulfill what it is God called you to do from the foundation of the world. Jesus did not say, I am the destination. Jesus did not say, once you get to me, that's it. Jesus said this. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man gets to the Father except through me. He didn't say, you come to me and that's it. He says, no, you get to me. And when you come to me, it gets you access to the Father. It not only gets you access to the Father, it also gets you access to the kingdom of God. There's no other way to get into the kingdom of God except going through the Son of God. There's no other way. In fact, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there's no other name given under heaven amongst men by which we must be saved except through the name of Jesus. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way into the kingdom of God. In the book of John chapter 10, he says, I am the door. Jesus says, I'm not the destination. I am the door. And those who come through the door can get to the Father. Do you see that? Why am I saying all that? He says, because milk, I need you to teach my people about laying aside dead works. In fact, if I was to give this message a title, the title of this message is Redeem Dead Works. What are dead works? Dead works is stuff that you just do out of habit. You know, you can go to church out of habit. You know, many unbelieving people go to church every Sunday. Why? Because it was their tradition growing up. I knew when I wasn't born again, for real, that I would still go to church every Sunday, knowing that when I left that church, I was going back to living the life that I was living before I got there on that Sunday. There was nothing that no one had ever told me that even though you go to church day in, go as week after week, month after month, year after year, if you don't make a decision to turn from that old way of living, your life will continuously be the same. He says that's even the case, even if you say that you called on the name of the Lord, but you don't make a decision to turn from the way that you used to live, he says your life will still look much like it did before because you have not turned. Another word for that is repented. Repentance simply means to change your mind, change your thinking, change your decisions, and change your actions. What does repentance mean? You must change. You and I must change. And he says, you're redeemed from dead works. Do you know the Pharisees and Sadducees, who were supposed to be the religious leaders of the day back when Jesus was walking the earth? Do you know that they spent a lot of times in dead works, even though on the outside it looked like they had it all together? And the Father is saying, I have redeemed you from those dead works. I have called you out of those things. I've called you out of just going through religious ceremonies and going through rituals and all those things. And you're doing it with your actions, but your heart is far from him. Dead works is when you're doing stuff, you're doing it, but your heart is not in it. You're doing it because that's the right thing to do. You're saying it because it's the right thing to say. But in your heart motives don't match up with your actions on the outside. And your heart motives don't match up with the words that you're saying. And your heart's motive is all about you. But if you're going to have a relationship with the living God, it can't be about you because it's all about him. Jesus says, Father, thy kingdom come. Father, your will be done. Earth. Just like it is in heaven. So he says, I'm calling you to lay aside dead works. And we're going to jump into that today in the name of Jesus. Now, in accordance to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, this is what it says. Paul, writing to the church, writing to the Hebrews, says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What does all that mean? That simply means that there. By this time, you've been walking with the Lord for a while now. But even though you've been walking with God for a while now, you, in the way that you your daily life goes about, it looks like you are like a brand new babe. You know, I used to think growing up, the longer that you're in church, the more mature you are. But God says that's not true. You can be a 50-year-old person who's been in the church for 50 years and still be wearing huggy diapers because you never matured beyond going to the cross. He says, but you could be somebody who's brand new in the things of God, and your maturity level could be much further than those who have been sitting in the church for 20 years, 50 years, 30 years. Why? Because you not only heard what the word says, you began to do it. What it's talking about, that, you know, by exercising, it simply means they made a heart decision to do what it is they heard or read through the word of God. And he says, you ought to be teachers by now. You ought to be teaching other people, but you still need somebody to teach you the basic things of God. And you say, well, what are the basic things? Well, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 goes on to say it this way. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation. What's the foundation? Your foundation as a new follower, a new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is this: the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of doctrines about baptism, of laying on of hands, of resurrection from the dead, of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. What is he saying? He says all these things that we think are monumental and we're supposed to just stop right here. He says, no, all that stuff is foundational. It's kind of like when you build a house. When you build a house, you pour the foundation and everything. Once that foundation is solidified and strong, then you begin to build up the walls of the house. But far too many people, God is saying in the body of Christ, he says, they have come to the point where all they're doing is continually laying the foundation and laying the foundation and laying the foundation and laying the foundation. And it's good if you're dealing with babes. He says, but by now you've been doing this thing. You've been experiencing these things long enough that you should be teaching other people about the foundational things of Christ. What is that called? Discipleship. He says, by now you should be discipling other people. But yet you still need somebody to disciple you, because even though you've been going to church all your little young life, you have a knowledge of God, but you don't really know God. You have a knowledge of some of God's ways, but you don't really know God's way. And what I'm making what he's saying to you and I today, he says, it's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to pick up our cross, to follow after him, to lay aside every other weight, to lay aside every other excuse, to lay it all aside. It says, you know, from this day forward, I'm redeemed from dead works. From this day forward, I am redeemed. Hebrews chapter 9 says it this way. It says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse us, cleanse our conscience, our minds from dead works to serve the living God. And for this reason, he is, talking about Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the righteous, or for the redemption of the transgression under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. What does that mean? The blood of cleanses our conscience, cleanses our mind, our will, and our emotions of dead works. In other words, you are no longer subject to that old way of thinking. You're no longer subject to that old way of living. You're no longer subject to that old way of deciding. You're no longer subject to those things. He says, for by through the blood of Jesus, you have been redeemed. What does redemption mean? What does it mean to be redeemed? Redeemed means you've been ransomed. You've been delivered from bondage. You've been delivered from distress or penalty or liability or from the possession of another by paying of an equivalent debt. In other words, Jesus redeemed us through his blood on the cross. He redeemed us from poverty. He redeemed us from lack. He redeemed us from sickness and disease. He redeemed us from spiritual debt. He has already redeemed us. He's not going to do it in a sweet by and by. He's already redeemed us. And God says, since you've been redeemed from dead works, since you already have tasted and understood and begin to receive the teachings of the Word of God, he says, now I'm saying to you, it's time for you to begin to exercise, put it into practice to the point you can find other people who you're able to minister the word to disciple them, that they might be redeemed from dead works and begin to lay a foundation for them. And then as they lay their foundation, they begin to build their walls. Guess what happens? Then they find other people to help them to lay a foundation so that they can build up their walls. So you see how this thing works. That's why he's saying, you have and I have been redeemed from dead works. Now, what's an example of dead work? You said, Pastor, you've been saying about dead work. Can you give us a biblical example? Absolutely. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 15 and verse 1. And this is going to be a great example of dead works. Now, when I talk about dead works, I'm not talking about people who are outside of the church or who say they don't know of God or don't have some understanding or say they haven't entered into a relationship with them. This is what dead works look like. This is Matthew chapter 15, verse 1, and it says this. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious laws now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They asked him, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? Pause. Think about that for a second. It didn't say, why did your disciples disobey the Torah? Why did your disciples disobey the law? Why did your disciples disobey what it is that Moses and the prophets have said? It says, why does your disciples, which is Jesus, a disciple is a student, our pupil, our follower of Jesus, why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition for ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. Now, they're coming to Jesus, not talking to him about something that has any impact on their eternal life. But they're talking about, why do your disciples not wash their hands before they eat? Think about that for a second. It's no different. When I was growing up in church, I used to ask, why do all the nurses on women wear white on the first Sunday? Or why do they wear the white gloves? And why do they lift up their right hand and not their left hand? And why is it that when, you know, these things happen, why do people do this? And in fact, I was the 5-year-old kid, and my wife would say, you still the 5-year-old kid, because I don't want to just know what to do. I want to understand the why behind the what, so I can make sure that if I'm doing, I can know exactly what kind of outcome I can expect to get. These guys are arguing with Jesus, or questioning Jesus about ceremonial, did you hear that? Ceremonial hand washing before they ate. Listen to Jesus' response. They said, because the Pharisees and Sadducees said, because, you know, they don't wash their hands before. Jesus replied, and why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? Now, think about this. Some of the traditions of men actually violate the commandments of God. And that's why Jesus says, I have redeemed you from dead works. He goes on to say it this way. He says, why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and your mother. And anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death. But you, Pharisees and Sadducees, those who are teachers of religious law, you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you. In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you counsel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. Jesus called them hypocrites. Another word for that is you are pretenders. You're saying that you're following the religious laws, but you, by your own traditions, are violating the very law you said that you hold. He goes on to say it this way. He says, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for this is what Isaiah said. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. Did you hear that? They teach man-made ideas as the command of God. And he says, when they do that, they make the word of God of no effect in your life. And see, that's why me, as the 5-year-old growing up, I wasn't 5-year-old, but acted as a 5-year-old, the why, would always question. If somebody says to do this, I would always say, okay, well, why? And they said, because this is what you do. I said, okay, I understand that. But why? And can you show it to me in the Bible so I can make sure that I'm doing it according to the word of God? See, it's not enough just to do stuff if what you're doing does not equal to what is written in God's word. People used to say to me, communion is on the first Sunday. But you know what? There's nowhere in the Bible that says communion can only be done on the first Sunday. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you had to be at church when you do communion. Now, I would highly advise you to be a part of a local body of believers so that you can be taught and matured to do the works of the ministry to edify the body of Christ. But you can do communion at home. In fact, Pastor Jewett and I, we've done communion riding in the car together sometimes. We've done communion coming out of a time of prayer. We've done communion before a fast, after a fast. We've done communion using crackers and juice. We've done communion before using a donut and a smoothie drink before, because that's all we had at the time because we was in the car. In other words, it's not so much the utensil, the representation of the body and blood. The fact is the communion, because he says, as often as you do it, you do this in remembrance of me. So if you did communion every day, you did it, it wouldn't be wrong until you got off to the point where it no longer meant anything to you. See, dead works is when you're doing things and it no longer means anything to you. You're doing it, but it means nothing to you. Jesus says, I have redeemed you from dead works. I have redeemed you from those old ways. I have redeemed you from just going through ceremonial rituals and ceremonial laws. He says, in fact, my blood has cleansed your conscience, your remembrance of dead works. Now begin to do the works of the Lord. Begin to grow up in the things of God. Begin, once you lay that foundation of what it is, the word of God says you are to believe, the foundation of Christ, he says, and then you begin to build the walls. See, Jesus goes on to say about those Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus said this when he was talking to the crowd, he says, come and listen here. Listen, he said, and try to understand. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. In other words, they're so concerned about you washing your hands so you don't defile yourself. But Jesus says that's not the thing that defiles you. The very thing that defiles you is the words that come out of your mouth. Then his disciples came to him and, Jesus, do you not realize you offended the Pharisees and Sadducees? Jesus, I can see Jesus popping his collar like, and what? He says this. He says, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. If somebody has you operate in dead works, if someone has you operate in man-made traditions that violate the word of God, and the only way you're going to know if it violates the word of God is you got to get into the word of God to understand whether or not it violates the word of God. It says this. He says, the blind lead the blind. He says, and when they lead the blind, they will both fall into a ditch. Then Peter said to Jesus, explain to us this parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. Jesus says this, don't you understand yet? Jesus asked, anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, slander. These are what defiles you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. Jesus is saying you can go through all these external exercises and still not deal with the main thing that will defile you. But if you don't wash your hands, it won't defile you. But if you don't deal with those matters of your heart, that's what's on the inside of you, those thoughts, those arguments, those reasonings, those theories that try to exalt themselves above the knowledge of God, those things that try to get on the inside of you by way of TV, by way of radio, by way of music, by way of teachings. If you don't deal with that situation, those things have already defiled you. But Jesus says, I've redeemed you from the dead works. I redeemed you from just going through, you know, mere exercises. In fact, it says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, talk about the Holy Spirit, through faith. Now, who redeemed us from the curse of the law? Jesus. What did that mean? He's already purchased us back. He's already paid the price that the curse required. He's already delivered us from poverty, sickness, disease, and spiritual death. He's already redeemed us from those things. He also goes on to say this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, you are all the sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I hear a lot of people say, we're all children of God. That is not correct. That's not correct. We are created by God, but we're not all children of God. The qualifier of whether or not you are a child of God or not is this. You are all sons or daughters of God through your faith in Christ Jesus. If you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you have not confessed him as Lord over your life, you are not, I didn't say it, the Bible did, are not a child of God. It's really that simple. In fact, it says in John chapter 1, he says, to as many as believed on him, gave he power to become what? Sons of God. And you become a son, a daughter of God. Once you make Jesus the Lord of your life, how do you know you are a son, a daughter of God? You receive the Holy Spirit. And by receiving the Holy Spirit, what happens? You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. It goes on to say, for as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. He says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave or free. There's neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. Now, we are not only children of God because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are also the righteousness of God because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know that? Romans chapter 3, verse 21 says this, but the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How do you qualify to become the righteous of God? All you had to do is to sin against God. How many of us have sinned against God? All of us before we came to God. And what does he say? Because of your faith and belief on the Son, Jesus Christ, then are you made the righteousness of God. Then are you made the sons or daughters of God. But he also goes on to say this in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, it's not works. You can't earn this. He says, it's by grace. Ephesians 2 and 8. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then he says, for we are all his workmanship. Who are all his workmanship? Those who have been born again. For we are created in Christ Jesus for good works, which the Father beforehand, that we shall walk therein. Now, it's not by our works. It's by grace through faith are we saved. And once we are saved, once we have Christ, once we are in Christ, then what does 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says? If you are in Christ, then are you a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. If you're in Christ, you're a brand new creation. But you have been redeemed from dead works. You have been redeemed from old exercises. You have been redeemed from religious exercises. Does that mean you don't have to go to church? No. What does it mean? That your salvation is based on the fact that you are in Christ Jesus. You're not trying to earn it. In fact, you can't earn it because Jesus has already made it available to you. But he says, I have redeemed you from dead works. The things that you went to the cross, great. Now there's life after the cross, and life after the cross means, okay, now that I'm in Christ Jesus, I know I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now I know I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now I know I'm a son, a daughter of God. Now I know that I'm his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. He says, see, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. He says, but now that I'm a man, or now that I'm full grown, or now that I'm more mature, I'm putting away those childish things. I'm putting away childish things. I'm putting away those old things because I'm now exercising the use of the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding of God's word so that I may continue to grow. See, when we was babes, we was on milk. And according to 1 Peter chapter 2, we are laying aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all envy and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes, yes, you desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. But as you begin to grow, because you're desiring that word of God and you're being doers of the word and not hearers only, you've put off all those dead works and you begin to walk in the newness of life. You begin to walk and be all that God has called you to be. Because you've already laid a foundation and you're putting up your walls, now guess what's happening? God expects you and I to find others to help them to lay a foundation, to disciple them, that they might too become sons of God and daughters of God, and that they might also be partakers of what it is that the Christ has already did for them on the cross. He's redeemed you. He's redeemed me. He's redeemed us all from dead works. But he can't go against our will. We have to make a decision. Say, you know what, Lord? From this day forward, I repent. I change my thinking. I change my mind. I change my actions. And now I'm going to be about your business from this day forward. I'd like to give you an opportunity to do that right now. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never said, you know, man, all this sounds great, but how do I even begin? Well, the way that you begin this is found in Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, which says this. It says, the word of God is near you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith that we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, remember, people received salvation. People became the righteousness of God. People became sons of and daughters of God by their faith and believe it on Christ Jesus. He says, if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Say it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Say this, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Jesus, I confess you as Lord over my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I make a decision from this day forward to be redeemed from dead works and live unto you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. Well, if you made that confession with us today, you prayed that prayer with us today, I want to welcome you into the body of Christ, welcome you into right position, welcome you into the kingdom of God. What do you got to do now? You got to get in a word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and teaches you about the love of God, teaches you about the kingdom of God. I know that Faith Life is such a place where we meet every Saturday at 6 p.m., and we teach the word of God line upon line, precept upon precept, not only what the word says, but how to practically apply it to your life to transform your life forever. We'd like to invite you to join us. And if you have a prayer request, send your prayer request to faithlifedepot.com. And we have a podcast out there. If you don't know, we have a podcast called Ignite to Life audio podcast. And we have a daily podcast that's called It's Really That Simple. We'd like to invite you to join us there. And on behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire Faith Life Nation, I want to thank you for joining us today. You have a great day. God bless you. Bye-bye.